and welcome to a special TV Dudes. It's just me, Randy, and...
Kyle. It's just me, and Randy.
And we're talking about the Moon Tower Comedy Festival, which we attended...
2017.
That's right. We attended on a press pass.
Uh-huh.
Two press passes, actually.
Media.
And so as a result, we got to go see the show. We also saw it with Ashley. She's not here tonight, but mm-hmm. I'm hoping to talk to her a little bit later in the week. But, Kyle, so...
Yeah.
Second year for you for
this
Moon
Tower? This is my second year, and, man... It gets better.
Yeah, we had a great time.
Yeah, I gotta say, especially one of the big things I noticed this year over the previous year is everything I walked into was good.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, you get a couple duds, especially at a festival. No duds this year.
Yeah, there were a couple of sets where I was like, oh, that's not as strong as everything else, but it was still solid.
Yeah.
There was nothing where you're like, oh, I feel bad for that guy.
Especially if you're going to visit, like, a comedy festival or something. I have a lot of confidence recommending, you know, people spend however much to go to this one, because even if you go to a smaller show, I think you're still going to have a really good time.
Yeah, that's the interesting thing is that the headliners this year were not as strong in general for me. Like, Ali Wong was great, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
But Patton Oswalt was only doing one show, which I wasn't able to get to. Chris Hardwick was only doing one show, which I wasn't able to get to. So, like, the headliners were more or less off the board for me, and it was all mm-hmm. about going to shows. But the shows are so good and so well curated that I was all about it.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's like, who opened for Ali Wolf?
Oh, Michelle Wolf opened for Ali Wong.
Oh, yeah.
You're mixing
really,
them up.
I really effed that one up. No, Michelle Wolf, we saw her last year.
Yep.
All right, playing on some of the smaller stages.
Yep.
Up to the big stage this year, opening for Ali Wong.
But, very confident opener, too.
Yeah, I feel like in the next 5 years, we're going to see her on one of the... I mean, she was already on all the banners.
Right.
Like, up and downtown. And I think she had another show that we didn't go see. I don't know if she, like, headlined that one.
She did have, like, a spotlight show. Yeah.
But, yeah, it's... What I love about and why I'm talking about her is I love seeing somebody who you're like, oh, I've seen her in like one or two things. And then you come back a year later and it's like, man, I've seen you in a lot more stuff since then.
Yeah.
And it's like, and your comedy is just so much tighter. And I really do feel like this, you know, going to festivals like this gives you an insight not only on like the future of comedy talent.
Yeah.
But as we kept pointing out all week, future of television talent.
Yeah, for
like,
sure.
Tons of people that you would just recognize from all sorts of television shows.
Yeah, for sure. And it's great venues. Like there's several venues all in walking distance of one another.
Mm-hmm.
They do a really good job with crowd control, like getting you in. Like we had just badges. And we got seats for Ali Wong that were in the second row.
Shit, yeah.
That was crazy.
That was one of the highlights. Like, waiting in line going, well, dang. You know, we're standing by this guy who looks like Jerry the King Lawler.
that guy did look like Jerry Lawler for
sure. Oh, my gosh. Like a young, handsome version. It was, and he'd never even heard of Jerry Lawler.
Yep. But he embraced it, man.
Yeah, he kept running around the rest of the night going, oh, I'm Jerry Lawler. You ever heard of that guy? I look just like... And people in front of us were like, shit, he does look like Jerry Lawler.
Oh, I love when we got seated and he sat and he comes down after getting his beer and he looks over and he's like, Jerry fucking Lawler.
Yeah.
He was loving it. That was one thing that was actually kind of fun about this too, is that I don't know about you. Well, I do know about you because you and I had several conversations with people, but
yeah.
One of the nice things about going to a comedy festival like this is everybody there, you can sort of chat with. Like, I had conversations with several people in line or when sitting with random people.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'd talk about TV. We probably got some new TV Dudes listeners off of this because I mentioned it to a few people.
That would be nice.
And also, like, occasionally you get some interesting stories.
No, like the gentleman we met. Well, actually, dang, like, what story do we start with?
Oh, you start with the mushroom story.
You start with the mushroom story?
I think you start with that story.
So... Final night of the comedy festival, and we go to where we think the closing party is.
Yeah, whoops.
Yeah, no, we didn't quite make it there. Apparently, the parties the first two nights were both at the Stephen F. Austin, and then the final night, it was elsewhere.
It was at 800 Congress, one of the venues, which I didn't mm-hmm. realize. We were, like, literally across the street from it.
Oh, yeah, we were.
Yeah.
Right there.
We probably could have seen it.
Mm-hmm. So, the only people that were at this quasi-closing party were us, a bunch of people that had nothing to do with the comedy festival, and this one long-haired, bulky, lisp-talking...
Arrowhead necklace wearing. Don't forget that.
just very confused individual who...
So, we were talking, me and Ashley, sitting mm-hmm. there having a beer, talking about Sex and the City and Entourage, and how we all thought they were terrible, and you were trying to sell us on the idea of what the appeal was of Sex and the City.
Yeah.
And this dude says, are y'all talking about Sex and the City?
I mean, pokes his head up like, You say Sex in the City. I wish I could do his list boy.
Oh, I know.
You say Sex in the City?
And he wanders over and sits down. And I look over at Ashley, and she looks over at me. And she's talking to you. You probably didn't hear this. She's like, you didn't think your evening was going to end with you talking to a guy with an arrowhead necklace.
I did not hear her say that.
So this guy was on mushrooms.
Big time.
Yeah. We know because he told us.
Yep. Several times.
And he was... Joining our conversation, and he was looking at this group of people with these very beautiful young women and men in suits.
Yeah.
And he had fixated on one of these women, and he was going to go talk to her.
Yeah, it's like a pretty girl in the center of like all these really rich and handsome dudes,
yep.
you know?
Yep.
Like 15 James Bonds and like one femme fatale. And he just comes up to us, and he's like, I think I should ask that girl out.
Yeah. And we were all telling him, like, this is not going to, don't do it. Don't, this is not, well, not all of us actually were telling him this.
Okay. I was like, if you're going to do it the right way. You know?
Ashley and I were trying to talk him down, and Kyle's like, you might have a shot. We're like, what is wrong with you?
Yeah. No, I shouldn't have done that. But yeah, this guy was just totally misled. And it was one of those, like, after he started talking to us, we couldn't have him going and like making an ass of himself because
right.
everybody would have seen him come from our table.
Yeah.
So we were a little invested at that point. We had to talk him down off the ledge.
Yep. And he did. He finally wandered off in the night and actually looks at us and says, that guy's going to jail tonight.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably true.
There's no way that night ended good for him.
But it was kind of a fun encounter and memorable. Yeah.
Well, you know, the story that I was actually thinking we'd start with was, you know, when you and I met up Friday afternoon.
Yep.
And, well, hopefully we, got to shake hands with our future congressman.
Yeah, that's right. We went to Love It or Leave It and Beto O'Rourke showed up and walked the line.
Yeah. Taking selfies with everybody, throwing that big handshake on there, speaking common sense.
Yep.
The logic to the feelings, people. But yeah, no, do you want to jump in with that, Love It or Leave It podcast we caught on Friday? Cause I really enjoyed that.
So usually at this part of the podcast, we would do fan questions.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And we decided instead of fan questions, we'd kind of talk about our night, which mm-hmm. I feel like we've done.
Yeah.
And then we thought we'd do what we kind of do, which is we'd take a break, and then we talk about the shows, except instead of TV shows, we're talking about comedy shows.
Talk about comedy shows.
So stick around, and we will talk about comedy shows in just a second. I saw quite a few shows. I saw, I think, 8 shows in 3 nights.
Dang.
I saw 3 the first night when you and Ashley didn't make Thursday.
Mm.
Then we all saw 2 on Friday, one headliner and one sort of podcast.
Yep.
And then you and I saw about half of a show on Saturday, and then we all saw 2 other shows.
2 more showcases, yep.
So... where do you want to start?
We did get like half a show in the bathroom at the end of the night. But I mean, I guess we'll get to that in a minute.
Yes.
Get to that
yeah,
in a minute.
Yeah.
No, let's start with, what we were just talking about, getting to meet hopefully our future congressman.
Yeah. Future senator, sir.
Senator, my bad. Future senator. I didn't want to tell him that I wasn't a Texas resident. Like, I was like, this is a good handshake, but you're wasting it on me, man. Save your hand strength. Save your hand strength.
But won't you be? Won't you be by the point of the election?
You know what's funny? I actually heard a story on the radio the other day. Digression time. But it costs so much to like get registered, register my vehicle here and uh-huh. also my license.
Okay.
It's just been way easier to just renew it in Tennessee.
See? Okay.
Because... I don't have to do my license for like another 2 years.
Okay.
So my tags, I just send a thing in the mail. So it's like at least for, you know, the next year. But yeah, after that.
You know, Kyle, if Beto O'Rourke loses by one vote, I'd be real mad at you.
You obviously haven't seen the John Oliver from this week because districting has already screwed that gentleman.
But yeah, so.
We digress.
Love It or Leave It. This was a show that was announced sort of late.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Like 2 days before the show.
Yeah.
And I saw it on the app. I jumped in line. I got down there about 5 o'clock. You and Ashley had some traffic.
Mm-hmm. I skipped in line.
Yeah,
and got Ashley, right behind you.
And Ashley really skipped. Well, she didn't, actually, because we got in first. But so we're waiting outside Love It or Leave It, which, if you guys haven't listened to it, is part of the podcast on the Pod Save America, the Crooked Media Network.
Yeah.
And John Lovett is definitely, this is definitely fitted a comedy festival.
Oh, perfect. I mean, this guy, we saw him, Grant and I, at South by Southwest mm-hmm. with the other Pod Save America dudes.
Yeah.
And he just has such a personality to him. Like, yeah. he totally stole the show. Very much like kind of a comedian's persona.
Yeah.
And when you hear like his backstory and like everything he's done, it's like, I wonder why you didn't go into stand-up comedy.
Right. Well, so this is his show that he just launched. I think this is like the fifth episode that just got recorded. And he always does with a live audience. So this was the first one like out of state in Austin. So John Lovett gets up there. He's got Guy Branum, who is a comedian I love, who I otherwise wasn't going to see during this festival, which was great.
Mm-hmm.
Aparna Nancheria, who is a comedian from Crashing. Yep. Who I didn't recognize the name, but once she got up there, I totally saw who she was.
Oh yeah.
And then Hari Kondabolu, who, by the way, was not there at first because Delta had screwed up his flight.
Which I love that whole bit where Lovett starts the show and he goes, either this guy is going to be that dude who just bailed on the show, or he's going to come in last minute as a fucking hero. Yeah,
and he did midway through, yeah. right after Lovett asked this question. That's like not a great quiz. Like, it's like not something you should get applause. Hari comes in and there's all this applause, and he had to explain to the podcast, no, he just came in. They weren't applauding my question, but it was a lot of fun live. I thought that was a really funny show.
Yeah.
And also, you know, obviously with Lovett and those guys, Crooked Media, pretty informative.
Big time.
And then he had Beto O'Rourke come on and talk to him. And Beto O'Rourke, first of all, plain talking guy. I like this dude.
Yeah.
He's great.
But you know what? Little too much common sense.
Yeah.
He's too logical. Like, we live in a world of feelings, you know, where the feelings I want. And he gets up there and you're like, this guy makes so much sense. Like, yeah. Nobody's going to vote for him.
I don't know, man. He's tied with Cruz right now. And that's an early poll, but I'll take it.
Yeah, man. Gosh, this would be just kind of a new wave of like progressive, you know, thinking. And he just had a lot of like really smart things to say.
Yeah. They also did a fun segment called Did Ted Cruz Say This or Davy Crockett? And if any of this sounds like fun, by the way, this entire podcast is already up. You can go to Love It or Leave It and listen to the latest episode and listen to the Austin episode, and that it's all on there. Like,
I highly encourage you to do so.
Yeah, it was a really fun, and it's the same show we saw with like a little bit more because we saw the behind the scenes stuff,
mm-hmm.
but definitely worth a listen.
Yeah.
Then Friday night we saw what I think, did we both decide this was our favorite show?
Yeah, this is definitely our favorite show of the festival.
So this was the headliner show. This is Ali Wong, whose Netflix show Baby Cobra is, if you haven't seen it, go see it.
Yeah, she kills in it. Yeah.
And so we were excited and we were waiting in line. We met Jerry Lawler.
Yep. Jerry the King.
We were first in line, but the headliner shows at Moontower, they do sell tickets individually. Mm-hmm. So all these guys are going buying tickets, and I was getting a little nervous. Like,
yeah, it's always discouraging because you're in this line, and your line's shorter than the big line, and you're thinking, oh, they're just going to let us in, you know? No, they let in this big line of tickets, and you're like, we're never getting in.
I was like, we're thinking, okay, we're not going to get in, or we're going to get in and have to sit separately, or we're going to get in and have really awful seats. So we get up there, and they give the extra tickets to the people at the badges
mm-hmm.
that they didn't sell. So we get three tickets together.
Yeah.
And we go. And
we didn't even know where they were. Me and Ashley were like walking in the other side of the theater, like, oh, just where are our seats?
And I give it to the usher and walk us down, and we are in the second damn row.
Fucking awesome seats, like right up there.
I have never bought seats this good because I can't afford them.
Yeah.
And so we were right there, and Kyle and I are talking before the show about the people who are showing up on a little screen. You know, they're showing a little slideshow of the different comedians who are there. Uh-huh. And I'm like, oh, I saw that guy. We're going to see that guy tomorrow. And Michelle Wolf comes up. And we both start saying, oh, yeah, I like her. I'm like, she's here. I'm just not sure I'm going to see any of her shows. And then they cut the lights and they bring on the opener. And it's Michelle Wolf.
Yeah, she just walks right out. It's like, well, damn, there you go.
And did a killer opening set.
Oh, my gosh. And like I was saying before, just like you see this improvement. Like, you know, after seeing her last year, like she is just killing it.
She's got her confidence. Yeah. And a lot of her stuff. Oh, she did. She did a great bit about sort of how she feels bad for men because there's nothing left for them to do. And it was really good. If you guys go to the Austin Chronicle, you can see Ashley's article, which she wrote about Michelle Wolf and Ali Wong, which is really, I thought, great and captured the spirit of the show.
Nice.
And then Ali Wong came on.
Oh.
And Ali Wong, I liked Baby Cobra,
mm-hmm.
but this was a better special, I thought. I thought it was a better set.
You're absolutely right. And that's one of the things is, you know, when somebody has a really good special like that, my first fear, and I said it going in, I was like, I hope she doesn't do a lot of that same material.
Yeah.
And you're like, no way, man. Ain't going to happen. Yeah. And I was like, okay, but still, is it going to be that good? Yes.
Yeah. This will be her next special, right? For sure.
Easily.
She's still going to tape it somewhere. But instead of all the focus, she's pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of talking as much about dating her husband, although there's a little bit of that in there, this is all about new motherhood and not in the, my baby's so great and everything's wonderful, but all the terrors of new mother. If you know Ali Wong, you know, she's dirty as hell.
Yep.
And fearless and her take on motherhood.
Yeah. She's not dirty like Amy Schumer's recent special. She's like dirty, but like she can keep talking about, you know, giving a blowjob or having somebody eat her out. And you're just like, excuse the pun, but eating it up the whole time. Like, she is, without spoiling any of these jokes or just like, you know, being derivative, it's really hard to explain, but there's a difference between just having really good jokes where the punchline is my pussy.
Yeah.
And then just coming out with, hey, have you heard about my pussy?
Yeah, for real. Yeah. She tells these kind of things about gross bodily function. She mentions her baby shitting on her chest. Like she talks about sort of the realities of being a mom and the lack of glamour and her sort of feminist, anti-feminist message, which is kind of interesting. Like, it's an evolution of her act from Baby Cobra. I feel like
I see that big
time. Completely in line with what she did there, but a new Mama Cobra. But it was fantastic and just the best set of the night.
Oh yeah, and I think it was the highlight of the festival easily for me. Yeah. I can't wait to see the special when it comes out. I'm probably going to watch it and laugh as hard.
I'll watch it again.
Yeah.
All right. Then we go to Saturday night and
fun times.
You and I decided to go to a spotlight series. Ashley was covering Austin Towers for Austin Chronicle, and I always like to see the Austin Towers show because that's local comedians.
Yeah, that was one last year really good show.
So we went to the spotlight series at 7:30. We went to deck out early, and it was hosted by Kath Barbadora,
who's a local comic.
And we saw you last year.
Yep. Actually, at Austin Towers, but this is the Austin Towers show we're talking about.
This year she was hosting, and it was in the Townsend, which I think is a really weird little venue. Like it was in the back of a bar, and there's like barely any room. And
I gotta say, we were trying to think of like what our favorite venues were, and this might be my favorite venue. Just
really,
it was so cool and like hip and swanky and shit.
I feel like the crowd was so small; it was hard getting that energy.
Actually, it was for one of my favorite venues. Also had these cool mirrors on the side. Anyways, for one of my favorite venues, the problem definitely was, the room was just...
The room was kind of dead.
As far as like the people in the room were, not getting it.
Yeah, the comedians were doing their best, but it's hard to work in that kind of crowd.
And the comedians had really good stuff. I know that bit that Kath went on about Killer Mike. And how, man, it's Sunday afternoon is just like mine. You know, we should get brunch together. It's
that was great.
That shit just had me on the ground rolling.
And then Arden Mirren, who we knew from various things on TV and that kind of thing.
Yep.
She came out and did a really funny set. And I felt like there was a little bit of flop sweat on her just because there was like, she was getting nothing from the crowd.
Yeah, there's that.
But it was a good set.
Yeah. And she's really animated.
Yeah.
She definitely had one of the better crowd interaction components to her set out of everybody. And when you have a room that's not giving you anything back, that's kind of, that's hard for you. And we got to see her again later at another show.
Yeah.
And definitely a better set for her all around.
Yeah. Although it was the same set.
It was the same
set. But I enjoyed it more with a better crowd. And also I was Kirk.
So so this is the thing. We watched this first set with her. What's her name again?
Arden Mirren.
You've definitely seen her on At Midnight, a bunch of other stuff. Just great set. And she's doing this bit where she's, you know, pointing at this guy in the front row. And she's like, Kirk, can I call you Kirk? And, you know, oh, I'm going to get a lawsuit here. Can I touch you? And doing all this. Well, we go to the second showcase and we're walking in and I haven't seen it's the final showcase of the evening.
Right. Yeah.
We're walking into this last and we see her walking by and we're like, oh, she's going to be in here too. Then we go to look at the seats. All the seats are taken except for the front row.
Yep.
So Randy and I look at each other and it's like, you want to do it? And it's like, okay. And then Randy, you made the comment to me.
Yeah.
You said,
I was like, you're going to be Kirk.
You're going to be Kirk. And I'm like, oh, you're probably right, man. She's probably going to point right. We sit down and I'll be damned.
She picked me.
She pointed right to Randy. She's like, Kirk, can I call you Kirk? Can I touch you, Kirk?
Although we did later find out that she couldn't see anything from that stage because of the lights.
That was kind of the funny twist at the end of the night is we walked up by where the stage was, and these lights were so bright. Like, she could have pointed to a woman and been like, Kirk, can I call you Kirk?
Yep.
Thanks, Samantha.
But we had to duck out after that. We saw Dave Smith there as well. I don't remember a lot of his set. It was but we ducked out after.
He was funny, but I... low-hanging fruit because all of his stuff was very Trump-centric.
Yeah.
And it's like, it was like, dang, it is really easy to make fun of Trump and be like super funny at it. But that was kind of his whole deal.
It may not surprise you to hear that I hear a lot of Trump humor on a daily basis.
Interesting. Yeah.
A lot of my friends have funny things and angry things to say about Trump.
Wait, you go on that thing called the internet?
I do.
I need to check this out.
So we ducked out to go over to Austin Towers, which was hosted by not an Austinite, James Davis.
Correct.
And I'd seen James Davis on Thursday in a show at the called Stashbox 420 at the Parish.
All right.
And he was funny. And he was doing a lot of the same stuff here. So I thought his set was good, but it was the same stuff I'd already seen.
All right.
But he was a good host because he kind of took on keeping the energy up and that kind of thing, which... we talked about this a little bit later. I'll talk about it with Ashley. The comparison between like Austin Towers local comedians and then like the pros that we saw at like Major FOMO and at the Stars and Bars that I saw.
Yeah.
It's very night and day. Like these guys were good. They're confident. Their sets were all funny.
Mm-hmm.
But it's Major FOMO was like at a level that was higher, I thought. But that's not this was a really good show.
No, it definitely was. And, you know, I think even too, one of the things, we keep going back to that final showcase that we're going to talk about here in a minute, the Major FOMO.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was the best show, but also the best room in regards to the people.
Yeah, it was a good crowd. It was end of the night. I mean, 10 o'clock at night is tough.
Yeah.
But everybody still had their energy up. So this one, Austin Towers, I don't know how many more talk about everybody, but I do want to mention the guy that you really liked was John Ramsey.
Yes. John Ramsey does these just really like clever and kind of dry word jokes.
I told a couple of them to my coworker, and he mentioned it sounded a little bit like Stephen Wright or Mitch Hedberg.
Oh yeah,
but his energy was different. It wasn't quite as laid back or stonerish.
Speaking of his energy, my favorite part of the act, which like literally every joke of his, I was like, I wish I could steal that. It's just so good.
You should mention his opening joke.
Okay. So the opening joke, and this totally set the mood for the whole thing.
Yeah.
Because he just comes out and he goes, I think you should spell efficient with one F.
Yeah.
And like it just sat for a second. Like half the room laughed and the whole room's laughing.
I love those jokes. I love the wordplay because basically it's like you could hear the rolling laughter as different parts of the room figured it out.
Yeah.
Like it took a second for some people to grab it. Yeah.
But no, my favorite bit that he did is he talked about, I can, you know, do clean humor and I do churches sometimes.
Yeah.
And he's like, but, you know, hey, can I tell you my jokes first? And they're like, no, just keep it in line with the biblical principles. And then he starts going off on all these jokes that keep in line with like Old Testament biblical principles, but are just so raw and like not for that type of crowd at all.
Yeah. 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 I think there was a little bit of a gasp on his last joke, which I was dying. I thought was hilarious, but I think some of the people in the room were like, that's too far.
Yeah. Well, a guy that you really liked, the second funniest comic in Austin.
Yeah.
We couldn't decide if this was a diss or a compliment. Like, the second funniest guy in town. This Andrew, is it
Ezra Dismuse.
Dismuse. Yeah. Cajun guy.
He's a Cajun. And I think Ashley really dug his thing. I liked his stuff, but it was Ashley. The guy that I really liked was Matt Sadler.
It
was like
the
married guy who came out and had like sort of a nervousness where I was like, I couldn't tell if it was part of his act or if he was like really nervous.
Uh-huh.
It was part of his act.
Oh yeah.
Like he was doing this sort of nervous bit, but he told a lot of jokes about sort of being a married guy, but he also mentioned there was this great bit about a fleshlight and a dildo that just killed me. And I thought that his sort of brand of like, grown-up sex humor was really, really funny to me.
You know, something I really liked about him, and I saw a few comedians do this, because when you're in a festival like this, watching them back to back to back, you tend to notice, like, the different people's styles, you know, the energy.
Yeah.
And with him, I noticed, like, he started off slow.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't really focus on getting laughs at the beginning.
Right.
If anything, he was, like, kind of leading people down one direction.
Yeah.
And then as soon as he kind of got to that first good laugh, it was just like... he had already built his character up. He kind of had that weird energy going. And then everything he said was super funny.
Yeah.
Like that fleshlight joke would never be a good opening joke.
No, you gotta be in there at that
point. But once you know who you're talking to, and then he's like, you know, making these hand gestures with the fleshlight, like you're on the ground laughing.
Yeah.
It paid off brilliantly.
And I'll probably talk with Ashley some more. Are there any other comedians you want to mention out of the Austin Towers in particular?
Oh, man. I really feel like it'd be great to mention them all because it was a great showcase. What's her name?
Karina Magyar?
Karina Magyar?
Yeah, Magyar.
I'm awful with names, but very funny. She had a few that had me really chuckling. Looking at the rest of the list, do not see anybody else.
All right. Let's talk about Major FOMO.
Boom.
First of all, for those of you who don't know, FOMO means fear of missing out.
Da, da, da.
Which, since you did not see this show, probably, you should have major FOMO because you missed out.
You did miss out on this,
this
one.
This show was so... So the host is Daniel Van Kirk, who's a Chicago comedian? Or was he talking about... No, he's not a Chicago comedian. He's talking about Chicago.
Yeah, my guess would be New York, but I guess...
I think New York is probably right. Yeah. New York or LA. Mm. But this guy, first of all, when you're hosting a show at 10 o'clock, the host has got to have energy. He's got to come out there and just grab the crowd. And this guy totally did it.
Yeah.
And not only was he like really good at engaging the crowd, his bit about leaving his bag at Chicago Airport and and how that all went was just killer throughout.
Yeah, he was really good at like the everyman stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it could have been a room of kids, it could have been a room of grandpas, and he would have had both of them laughing just as hard.
And the first guy they brought out was Josh Johnson, who's this younger black dude who I swear to God I thought was like 12.
Yeah, that guy's really
small.
He was
really young, and he was really sort of subdued. And I don't know if it was you or Ashley who made the point that like that's a guy who needs to open a show. Like if he had come out in the middle of all his other sets, that energy would not have worked.
Yeah, interesting.
But his sort of quiet energy really worked, and he was really funny.
Oh, yeah.
And then after that, we had, I think, Caitlin Gill.
Yeah.
And I don't remember a lot of her act. I just remember liking it.
That's another thing, too, which I feel like we're giving her an unfair shake because there are so many of, you know, these comedians where... Like, you're laughing so hard, and then, you know, before you can really sit there and process it, they have somebody else right
next
in your face
who's
making you laugh just as hard.
So, Alice Wetterland from Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember Caitlin Gill. Caitlin Gill was the lesbian talking about how she looked like a lesbian. When you arrive, you get the denim jacket.
Right.
And she talked about going to Vegas and how she and she bonded with the Trump voter over craps.
Yep, the gambling
thing. Now I remember. And she was hilarious. Then Alice Wetterland, who's been on Silicon Valley... came on and did a really funny set about dating.
Oh, yeah. Her whole bit about kind of in a relationship. Maybe I just have material that I'm using on the guys.
Yeah. Then we had Tony Hinchcliffe, who has, a Netflix special, maybe?
I think that's
because
what he said.
The thing that struck me is a lot of these guys, they'll jump between. I mean, these are 6 or 7 minute sets.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them will do like 2 or 3 sort of joke setups. Tony Hinchcliffe told one story, and I feel like that's a guy who has a Netflix special. Like, that's a guy who's got an hour's worth of material who just pulled out one joke.
I'm trying to
let it ride.
A picture, because...
He was this younger dude. He told the story about being in a group text.
That's right.
In his apartment complex.
Okay, yeah. No, that guy killed it.
And it was such a great... It was one joke... Like spread out over 6 minutes. Like it was a good story joke.
Yeah, it definitely reminds you of like the I don't know, is slow burn the right word to where like you're getting like little jokes throughout.
Yeah, it was
but then
funny
when you
throughout.
Get to the end, you realize, oh, he's been leading us through this whole thing.
Yeah. And that was like I say, I think that's the difference between a lot of comedians that can do like a good 6 or 7 minute set and this guy who clearly this is like a 6 or 7 minute excerpt from his hour.
Yep.
Like he definitely had a lot of material. We also saw Chris Porter, who might be my favorite comedian I saw in this set. Although it's hard to pick one, but he's the one who talked about the people who don't believe in the sun.
That's right.
Like, the sun is bullshit.
This guy, you know, I saw him sitting in the back, and he's got kind of a look to him. Like, I work in tech.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, securities or something like that. And then he gets out there, and he has got this voice that is just like projects.
Yep.
And you're like, I did not see that voice with this guy.
Yeah.
Also great, like, everyman stuff. Like, oh, this is my cousin. This is my brother. Like, he's speaking my language.
Yeah. Then there was Orny Adams.
Yes.
Who came out and did not use the mic. basically.
Oh, no.
That guy just yelled.
Pretty impressed with that.
Yeah.
Just start screaming at everybody.
Yeah. And that kind of thing can be obnoxious, but it can also be really funny. And this was really funny.
Yeah, no, I think he pulled it off. And when you saw the size of the room, if you are a person who can project, like some of the comedians, they were telling their jokes into the microphone.
Yeah.
And then they back up from the microphone and like project to the entire room the punchline of the joke.
Right.
Which is kind of this neat, like new age soapbox type of way of doing comedy.
Yep.
But, oh, what was his, oh yeah. He's sitting in there complaining about the lights.
Yes.
And, you know, Randy got a little heckled earlier in the evening. He got to be Kirk.
Yep, that was Kirk.
And then he just points to me and he's like, "Who is this guy, man? I can't even see you. You must be like 80 years old." And I'm like, "I'm 31. And he was like, "Well, damn."
Yeah. And what's funny is at the end of the show, when we got up and stood on the stage and looked at the lights, I'm like, "Jesus, no wonder he thought you were 80.
There's no, like,
you couldn't see anything.
These lights. Show lights are bright. That's kind of how they work. Imagine that, but they're like right in front of your face.
Yeah.
Like no distance at all. They were just there.
And then there was Rojo Perez, who I saw earlier. I saw at the 420 show.
Okay.
And he's a guy from Puerto Rico, and he sort of starts out in kind of this low key note. Like, I feel like he almost lost the audience both times I saw him. And I think it's a deliberate thing, because when I saw him on Thursday night, he told this story about when he was younger and he trained a rooster to fight, except that he didn't. And the rooster went, and he told this whole story about his going to the fight and not telling his brother that he hadn't been training the rooster, and this elaborate, it has a punchline that just killed me. Like, it was a great set. None of that was here. Like, he was told a completely different story. And I'm always impressed, because I think it's going above and beyond. If you're doing three shows in a weekend and they're all 6 or 7 minutes, doing one set is fair. Like, some people are going to see it more than once. That's fine.
Yeah.
But if you're a guy who's going to be there and is going to do like two or three different 6 minute sets, I give major props to that. I think that's impressive.
Oh, yeah. And I, you know, because that's the thing. It may only be one or two people that see that set multiple times that get that thing. But yeah, for those people, like, you're a rock star now.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? I guess the people who appreciate it, I'd like to think we appreciate
we
it.
We did appreciate it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that Major FOMO show was a fantastic final
show. Oh my
show.
Gosh. And
that was by pure happenstance. Like, we were like, what's on that we can go see?
Yeah. I think one of the best parts of the night, though, was after the show, or one of the best parts of the show.
Yeah.
You know, we finish up the show and we're like standing on the stage. Well, we stand in front of the stage. It's not even really a stage, legal soapbox.
Little box, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We're standing in front of it and the lights are just blinding us. And we're like, wow, yeah, you can't see anything. And then we hear this voice, or these voices that sound very similar. And it's the Sklar brothers.
Yeah.
They had just been backstage the whole time and they had walked out right when we stood up there and they were right by us. And they were like, yeah, doesn't this suck? Blah, blah, blah. So we walk out and we go to the bathroom and there are just a shitload of dudes in this bathroom waiting to take a pee.
Yep.
And it's like an awkward wait. And I didn't say it at the time, but in my head, I'm like, they should have comedians like in the bathroom, you know, like doing little sets while people wait.
Yep.
Boom, in come the Sklar brothers again. And sure enough, they're just like, I haven't seen a bathroom line this long since blah, blah, blah. And they were just like going at it again.
Yep. Yeah, those guys. And I saw those guys on Thursday night too, by the way.
Yeah?
Yeah, so I got to see them do their act.
They came to Cap City about 6 months ago, and I went and paid to do that show, which was a really great night.
So, I mean, to wrap up, Moon Tower, Moon Tower is a great show.
It really is.
Like, I did three nights, and I feel like I got so much out of the time I spent down there. You only did two nights, and you still got a ton of comedy.
No, and just saying it now, it doesn't feel like I did two nights. It feels like I got way more than that.
Because we packed a lot of shows in that time.
Exactly.
We saw 20-some comedians.
Also, I think the way they have the venue set up, I mean, it is real convenient to just walk from venue to venue.
Yeah.
And another cool thing about this festival, which I haven't been to many other comedy festivals, but you get to see the comedians walking between venues, too.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not like, you know, they have like any, you know, special golf carts or like, you know, handlers, things like that. I mean, I didn't see like Chris Hardwick walking around.
Yeah, Hardwick and Patton Oswalt were probably taking the secret subways, the multiple.
Yeah. Getting that special drone copter ride from building to building.
But yeah, it reminds me a little bit of the energy of ATX Fest for me, which is that everybody's there for the same reason. Like, we're not like being separated out. Like, everybody's there for love of comedy.
Yeah.
And having a badge and being able to walk into just about any show, like, that's really cool. Like, I feel like the badge prices here, you compare it to something like South by Southwest.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's a huge bargain. And it just gets better every year.
I am really excited about what they're going to do in the future. And also, you know, people thinking about attending in the future, I got to encourage you, you know, come early and catch a podcast first.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, the podcast that I saw, the two podcasts I saw were both great.
Mm-hmm. And even if it's, you know, a show you listen to, you're like, yeah, the live energy sometimes. Yeah. And like what they're able to do with these shows. I mean, they become, you know, comedy bits in themselves.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's our show for this week.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Our special report.
Yes, our special Moontower report.
Dun, 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 dun.
Thanks for listening. Thank you for coming, Kyle.
Oh, man. Thank you for having me.
And until next time.
TV Dudes out.
The TV Dudes is an independently run podcast and a member of the Permanent Record Podcast Network. We are exclusively listener supported. If you'd like to help us out, please go to patreon.com/TV Dudes. You can like us on Facebook and Twitter @TV Dudes and help us out on iTunes by giving us a 5-star rating and writing a review. To find out more about us, go to thetvdudes.com and permanentrcrd.com. I'm Grant Davis. Thanks for listening.